So think about sleep as an investment for performance the next day.
Today's episode of the podcast, number 3 in the series on sleep, I speak with Meeta Singh. Meeta is a physician who applies sleep science to enhance physical and mental performance, assisting athletes within the NBA, NHL, NFL, and MLB. And today, Meeta discusses how and why sleep is such an important tool for high-level performance, and that improving the one-third of our life that we spend asleep really can give us the extra percentage points over competitors. We also discuss the specific roadblocks athletes come up against in terms of sleep, such as early morning training times, competing in different time zones, and the sheer pressure and stress they are under. Lastly, although it is obvious to a lot of us the importance of physical recovery in sleep, Meeta lays down why sleep is crucial for athletes learning new techniques or even its ability to create the correct winner's mindset. And if you'd like to learn more about what Meeta does, please visit meetasinghmd.com, where you can find more media or even links on the offered services.
Mind-bending chemicals.
I don't care. He wants to kill me.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Sleep does. So we know what sleep is. So sleep is disconnection and unresponsiveness to the environment, right? Mm-hmm. So it forces both mental and physical rest to occur. And because there is forced rest, that's the time where restoration and recovery tends to occur. So that is why it's essential. It's actually essential for everything in life, mm-hmm. but it's especially important for athletes who, you know, who want peak performance mm-hmm. when they're playing. And I often tell players that sleep really touches everything. So, you know, start from the very top, you know, think about memory formation or consolidation. So anything you take in during the day, it gets consolidated at mm-hmm. night. So the memory gets, you press the save button at night while you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever players learn by either watching film or even, you know, if they're learning to kick in a certain way or they're right. learning a sequence. So, you know, if they're playing tennis, there's a certain pattern they're trying to learn. Or even if they're trying to learn about their opponent's game, that information gets stored while they're sleeping. But then, in addition to that, sleep has this really unique characteristic. So, you know, whenever you're sleeping, you take in new the information that you have stored will interact with previously stored information, and you can come up with novel solutions and novel ideas, which is why we say sleep on a problem. We never say right. eat on a problem, right? And so, so, you know, this is especially important for, say, maybe coaches or, you know, players when they're trying to get over a hump or they're trying to think about how to approach a solution. And you know, I mean, this applies to everybody, but, you know, it becomes relevant to the people that I work with, which is, you know, athletes. And that sort of aha moment, you know, what you need for that is sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, sleep's also, we know that if you don't get enough sleep, there are parts of your brain that are preferentially impaired. And right. one part of the brain that's preferentially impaired is your prefrontal cortex, which is that part of the brain that's responsible for good judgment, decision-making, you know, multitasking. Mm-hmm. And actually one part of the brain that lights up when you get less sleep is your emotional brain. Mm-hmm. So when you're sleep deprived, you don't get enough sleep, you're making decisions that with an overly emotional brain. When the good judgment part of your brain is not.
We've all had that experience, right?
Yes, yes. We've all. And so, you know, that decision making is really important, in time crunch situations. So, you know, there are multiple times where athletes are faced with when they have to make like this split second decision while they're on the court, or, you know, if they're on the ice rink or wherever they're playing. And, you know, that's the sort of judgment that would be impaired if you didn't get enough sleep. Then, you know, and we haven't gone past the brain right now. We're still, so, you know, the other thing that sleep is really important for is, you know, allowing you to switch course mid-stride. You know, that sort of mental agility, which is, you know, you're about to do something and you decide to do something else. You know, that sort of that equity that you need, that gets impaired if you don't get enough sleep. And, you know, so if you're, you know, if you decide to change tactics in the middle of the game, that sort of ability is what separates, you know, very good players from good players.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And you know, and also the ability to look and discern emotion. Emotional regulation, you know, which is the ability to, you know, when something presents to you, whether you're going to, you know, whether you decide you want to pay attention to it,
right,
how you're going to respond to it, are you going to respond, are you going to walk away, things like that. You know, that every step of that emotional regulation is influenced by sleep. So, you know, so obviously playing the mental game, it's really, really important,
right,
to be sleeping well. So that's just what the brain does. You know, and then think of your, you know, your muscles, any sort of recovery that happens. You know, during the day, you're working your muscles. For athletes, you know, they're working it out or whatever they're doing during the day. You need, it's that forced inactivity that happens at night or whenever you're sleeping. That's where recovery happens. You know, growth hormone is secreted. So other hormones and factors, blood factors that are essential for repair and recovery, that's when it happens. So, you know, think about even a cell, even a muscle cell. You know, the functions of a muscle cell are timed. You can't do it can't break down and build at the same time.
Right.
You know, the time that it repairs happens to you know, while you're asleep. So, you know, of course, and then you know, things like, you know, your heart, your lungs, you know, heart rate goes down. So the entire, all your organs shut down and recover in preparation for the next day. So, so think about sleep as an investment for performance the next day.
Right. You know, it's interesting as well, because obviously I had certain ideas about the usage of sleep with athletes. And of course, I think it's quite an easy stretch for all of us to understand, it's recovery time for muscles, especially if you've been training hard. But it's interesting what you're saying, how the feelers of sleep really reaches into every facet of what an athlete does.
Yeah.
Just like what you said, for example, even learning techniques, you need to get the sleep. And the emotional feeling of a player when they're actually performing, which is crucial, you know, especially we talk about boxers, they don't want to lose their temper while they're fighting, things like that. It's extremely important. Now, with all that in mind, presumably, you can't just say to an athlete, okay, yeah, just go get your sleep and then that'll be it. Presumably, you have some sort of pattern. Presumably, you have some sort of way that you assist an athlete in getting the correct amount of sleep in the correct way. So what do you keep in mind when you're actually thinking of a plan like that?
So I would say that for any, you know, I know specifically for me, I always concentrate on educating athletes. Now, you know, for many years, sleep and recovery were ignored. They were just not on the radar. And Now for athletes, it's more on the radar, but you know, they typically know things like, you know, your bedroom should be dark and not well lit. Well, you know, unless you're living under a rock, you should know that. You know, it should be dark, it should be cold, it should be dark, you know, quiet, mm-hmm. etc. But, you know, the first thing that you have to do is that you yourself have to understand the athletes really well, right? Mm-hmm. So, athletes are uniquely set up to sleep poorly, right? So mm-hmm. we know data shows that typically athletes sleep poorly prior to any competition, you know, because they're stressed, either they're stressed
nerves,
out, they anxiety. May be in a strange environment, they may be living in a hotel, you know, they may be stressed out about the outcome of the match the next day.
Right.
They may be stressed out about the fact that they're not well prepared, or that mm. they are not going to be able to sleep, and that itself might prevent them from falling
asleep. Stops the sleep, right, ironically.
You know, they have all sort of pressures, you know, not just, you know, internal pressures, but the expectations of their coaches, you know, their family members, their fans, and all of that can be, you know, it can be a heavy crown, so to speak, to wear.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, oftentimes what happens is that once, you know, especially since most games, especially games in which, you know, top players play, most of these games are evening games, right? That's mm-hmm. when people want to see it on television.
And, right.
You know, so they play this night game, their blood pressure, their temperature, body temperature is high. Their cortisol and adrenaline levels are high. They're excited after the game. They may have drunk a lot of caffeine or energy drinks for the game. All those factors which help them on the field are the same factors that will make it more difficult for them to fall asleep after that, right? And then, of course, you know, many sports themselves, I would make a case that playing a sport itself can disrupt your sleep. And I'll give you an example of what that means. So, you know, so if you look at any sport, and I work with different leagues in different sports, but they travel. They often travel for competition. They may be traveling in, like, you know, chartered planes, but they're still traveling. They often cross time zones. They often play immediately after getting to a new time zone or to the new destination. They often have to sleep in different hotel rooms. They often are practicing at different times, so they may be limited. Like, for example, you know, swimmers might be competing in the evening, but they might have to swim early in the morning for practice because that's the only time they can get the pool. Right? Skaters, you know, hockey players, they may get ice time only at a certain time during the day. So there are multiple things where being an athlete or the game itself can disrupt their sleep. Okay. So, you know, you asked me how I would approach speaking, or how would I approach a team or, you know, individual players. So, you know, I'll tell you, first of all, that understanding of you know, athlete factors and sports specific factors that might affect their sleep is really essential. So, for example, you know, I work with, you know, Major League Baseball or football or basketball, you know, a couple of pro golf players and a couple of tennis players. So all of these players, they all have different schedules. Like, you know, so you really have to understand what could be contributing to that poor sleep. So, you know, being part of a team is very different from being a solo player, you know, which sometimes can be more stressful because, you know, it's just you and, you know, you have to sort of, you know, you don't have that team support around you. Mm. Anyway, and for some people, for some players, their personality is better suited for that. So, you know,
fits that. You know,
different people adjust in different ways. Okay, so once you've passed that, but, you know, when I approach it, whenever I'm asked to come help with a team or a player, my main focus is on education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you have to remember, athletes, they have a lot of information being thrown at them.
Yeah, and about everything, right?
So when you're educating players, you have to make that education, you have to make it compelling, you have to make it interesting, you have to make it interactive.
It's valuable.
You have to, because otherwise they're not going to pay attention.
Mm.
Right, and of course, you know, being a sleep physician, the other thing I do is the athlete-specific questionnaires, screening mm-hmm. tools that mm-hmm. can help identify if there are any sleep issues. And, you know, there are specific issues that can happen to an athlete, and using screening tools sort of helps, helps easily identify them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would tell you is that, you know, when you're having a conversation with an athlete, you know, having a clear, candid conversation is really important because, mm-hmm. You know, sleep is something athletes do in the privacy of their bedrooms,
mm-hmm.
right?
Of course,
and so
yeah,
they,
good point.
Right? So you want to, of course, I'm a physician and anything they say to me anyway is confidential, but mm-hmm. you want to reassure them that you understand, you know, or that they are able to tell you, you know, whatever their limitations are,
mm-hmm.
How their sleep might be affected, and then mm-hmm. to come up with solutions, because most recommendations for sleep issues, you know, they're not overnight fixes, and mm-hmm. many times athletes, especially in the middle of the season, want overnight fixes.
Of course, right?
If they could take a pill that would take care of it, that's what they would do. And so, you know, it's a matter of establishing rapport and, talking to them about it. So number one, I would say, is education, you know, screening. So education, number two, would be helping them manage jet lag and travel fatigue mm-hmm. during the season. Number three, the focus would be identifying individual sleep issues. You know, some players may have issues with, winding down, whatever mm-hmm. the issue is. And then, you know, re-education, right. Like, you know, coming up with the education, focusing on whatever dysfunctional beliefs they may have,
mm-hmm.
and then educating them towards that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. The things that we know about sleep sort of on a personal level, like you had mentioned, really, it ticks a bunch of boxes for an athlete why it's hard to sleep as an athlete. You know, we're talking about the pressure that they're involved with.
Yeah.
We talk about all the traveling. We're talking about maybe some of their own previous preconceptions that you've mentioned too, such as, I've got to work as hard as possible. That means waking up as early as I can, training, always training, going to bed late, like that really sort of extreme lifestyle that isn't particularly assisting them. And you mentioned as well that it wasn't at all on the radar in the past, and now it's starting to grow and become that way. And in my opinion, from what I know, you could probably tell me if it's correct or not, seems like that's similar to the general public as well. I feel like generally people are starting to appreciate sleep more.
Right, right. But so what happened is, in sport, I can tell you this: what happened in the US, and I'm sure it's the same most places, is that, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, they started banning amphetamines and other drugs.
Big difference.
Right, right. And performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
And performance enhancing drugs, most of them mask the effects of sleep deprivation.
Right.
And so once that crutch was gone, you know, people started having
unavoidable.
Right, right. Mm. So that's number one. And I think overall as a society now that, you know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, we did not have cell phones. So now everybody has a cell phone, and a laptop or something, some right. device that they often take to bed with them. And, you know, because we live in a 24-hour society.
Yes.
And because of that, that can disrupt your sleep, you know, not just from the light that it comes, but it just, it's interactive. And, you know, I tell people that every time I meet rookies in, say, the NBA or the NHL, the NFL, the younger they are, you know, the less likely they are to have ever slept without a telephone in their hand.
Right. And generationally as well, right?
Yes. So, you know, for many years, did not have a phone with me all the time. And then when I did get a phone, I do have a tendency to put it away. But, you know, for many youngsters now, you know, have a phone
it's
in
difficult.
Their hands, have always had one in their hand. Mm. You know, the last thing they do before they go to bed is check the phone. The first thing they do is, you know, pick up the phone. And that, you know, it's a way, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, get rid of the phones, but, you know, for an athlete, it's like a double-edged sword. So if you're on Twitter or if you have fans that are following you, or, you know, it's easy to get either allow it to stress you or not, you know, when you're
influence you in general, right?
Right. So, you know, and here's a funny thing. So a couple of years ago, there was this research. It was done in the NBA, which is the National Basketball League here, association here. And what they did is that they looked at 5 years of data. And they looked specifically at, so they identified real Twitter handles of NBA players, you know, so, and looked at late night tweeting, which is defined as tweeting between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Right.
in the morning. And then they kind of excluded, you know, East versus West Coast people so that they could look, you know, they tried to get the noise out of the data, and they found right. that late night tweeting was associated with significantly less play the next day.
Wow.
So they were performing, you know, less the next day. They were, you know, not participating. The number of minutes on the bench increased.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not in active play. They were making less free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the late night tweeting as a surrogate for not sleeping at night. Because if you're tweeting, you're not asleep.
Of course.
And so that's the, you know, one of the side effects of not of sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the next question is, you know, we mentioned before that it's starting to grow on people's radar, and like I mentioned when I was speaking to David Cunnington, he said to me that the education is important because people need to realize that sleep is as much of a pillar to general health as much as diet and exercise. Yet there's irony of people getting 2 hours less sleep so they can wake up to go exercise. And it's like a lack of maybe respect and appreciation. So with that in mind, what are the main roadblocks in terms of deployment for these principles for athletes?
Well, so... you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that we sort of cross them. So first of all, of course, it's a lack of awareness. Number two is, you know, there are 24 hours in a day only. Now, for most athletes, they have, especially if they're playing at a pro level, you know, those hours are very firmly divided. They either play or they're practicing or they have, you know, or they have to be, you know,
very regimented.
Right, they're very regimented. Mm. They also have obligations, like they may have to speak to the media. So, you know, they may be done with the game, but they still have to speak to the media, or they have to speak to the media before that. They may have obligations to their sponsors. They may have they have families, right? Many times they're young and they may have babies at home. So other things,
right,
that might prevent them from falling asleep or, you know, or getting enough hours in bed. The second roadblock, I think, is, and we haven't, I don't know if you discussed it with David, the role of the of your circadian clock and chronotypes? Did you talk to him about it?
Very briefly. So if you have any extra info, please come out with it.
Okay, so just for your audience, the you know, all of us, all human beings, and you know, all organisms from a single cell to the human beings, we have biological clocks, mm-hmm. and in us, it's called our circadian clock. And it's located in our brain somewhere, you know, where these two fingers would meet in the brain.
Right.
And that clock keeps time. So it's in rhythm. It's about keeps a 24-hour, approximately 24-hour mm-hmm. rhythm. And it's synchronized to wherever you are. So if you're in Korea, you know, it when you wake up in the morning, you're exposed to bright light that as a result of which, your level of alertness increases. And then in mm-hmm. darkness, your brain secretes melatonin, and as a result, you sleep. So it consolidates sleep. So this is, in addition to that clock in our brain, in fact, every cell in your body and every physiological function has a circadian rhythm, right? So so this circadian clock is like a master clock, and it's sort of coordinating all these clocks in your body. But one of the things that the clock also decides is your chronotype, which is your tendency to prefer to be either a morning lark or a night owl.
Right.
You know, what time you like to go to bed, what time you like to wake up, what time are you most alert? Like, do you mm-hmm. like to do most of your activity in the morning or in the evening, and so on and so forth. And so that really has implications. That actually has implications for all of us, right? So if I'm a morning person, but I have a night game, then even though I want to go to sleep early, I'm not going to be able to fall asleep because I'm busy in the evenings. However, because I'm a morning person, I'm going to wake up early because my biological clock made me wake up early. And as a result, I'm not going to get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Totally. Yep.
Okay. So a night owl, for example, you know, might go to bed really late and would like to sleep in, but has to wake up early because they have a team meeting or they have practice, right? And so the schedule for the entire team is made for the team and doesn't take into consideration these individual, you know, chronotypes. And so that is why that itself is an impediment to why they may not sleep very well.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, let me think. What else again? Remind me what your question was. I know I tend to ramble here.
No, that's okay. You were going down sort of the right direction anyway. But I did want to add an extra point that would actually be good for you to continue on anyway. Now, we were just talking about the general roadblocks to deployment of sleep for athletes and why it might be an issue. But what you mentioned there is interesting because I suppose that between the general public and athletes, there's sort of quite a lot of crossover in terms of why people don't respect sleep, right? So we can talk about maybe with the general public, they don't want to go to work in the morning, so they might stay up a little bit later. They've always been taught maybe by their family that they should wake up early, even if, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, there's someone who is maybe better off sleeping later and staying up later, right? So identifying that sleep is so important, specifically for athletes, for a bunch of reasons, why isn't it necessarily respected the amount it should be? And obviously, we can talk about the lack of education, but on a personal level, for like what represents a sports person,
mm-hmm.
why do you think sleep isn't respected?
Well, I'll tell you what happens is that you know when. So let's take the situation of us. Why is if the athlete was should have gone to bed at 11 mm-hmm. p.m. why are they still up at 2 in the morning?
Yes, right?
And so there could be multiple reasons for that, and it's important to understand what those reasons are, because unless you understand that, you're not going to be able to help them. So you know. It could be that the athlete came back from a game and had drank a lot of caffeine. And even though they want to get into bed at midnight, well, half that, you know, the half-life of caffeine is 5 to 6 hours. So half of it is still in their system.
They don't have a choice.
They're just not going to go to sleep unless they took a sleeping pill to, you know, cancel it out. Or the athlete came back and they're really wired. They're really wired and, you know, they're just not ready to sleep, even if they want to. Or the athlete knows that he is a night owl and he doesn't fall asleep till 3 a.m. anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you tell him. He knows he's not going to sleep. So why should he even bother trying to get into bed, right? Or he decided that, okay, I'm going to watch one episode on Netflix of a certain show. And then he looks up and 2 episodes have gone by. And instead of being awake for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, now he's been awake for 2 hours, right? Or he says, well, you know, I know I'm supposed to go to bed at midnight, but damn it, I've had a busy day. I've done all this. I deserve some me time. I'm going to sit and watch play a video game right now, right? So there are all these different, you know, different reasons why athletes may actually procrastinate when they're about, when they should be going to bed. And the only way to get through to them is really by, again, having that clear, candid conversation to understand where they're coming from and to try and explain it to them. So, for example, you know, if there was, and this is a real life example, because I remember that I saw this NHL player. And he's a senior player and he's really like top of his game. And the one thing happens is that he's a very good sleeper otherwise, but on the day after the game day, he can't sleep till about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. Right. So we talked about his history and that's the only thing he did is that on the day of the game, that the game begins typically at 7 p.m. He typically never takes a nap, but on that day, he takes a 2.5 hour nap. So he's taken a big chunk of his sleep drive by taking this massive nap during the afternoon. And then, you know, an hour or 2 hours before his game is the only time he drinks these energy drinks. They have a lot of caffeine in it. So when he tries to go to bed at 1 a.m, well,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, when I had this conversation with him, you know, when we talked about all of this, he very clearly told me, he said, I am not going to change this routine. It's really worked for me. I'm playing the best season ever. And this is what works for me. So what we needed to change is his expectation about why he's not falling asleep. But why are you even trying to fall asleep with that?
Yeah. What's the point?
Yes. So why not understand that twice a week, or, you know, very occasionally 3 times a week, you're going to sleep very poorly, which is okay because the next day you play catch up and then you play catch up again. And then you take a nice big nap every day. It's, you know, within 24 hours or 36 hours, he was getting the same amount of sleep, but it's just that one day, you know, he wasn't sleeping. And so that's just one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, like, you know, like I'll give you another example. Speaking to this, I think he was a Major League Baseball player and lives on the East Coast, but his family lives on the West Coast. So when he comes back home from a game, that's the time he talks to his family. Because in the mornings, his family's not awake before he goes to work. You know, that's the kind of compromise you have to do. So you have to sort of help them with their sleep issues so that it fits into their life.
Yeah, reframing it personally,
right? Yes, right. So you know, instead of going to bed at, you know, 4 or 5 a.m, could he, you know, I'm talking about the NHL player, could he at 3 o'clock now start maybe reading a book or listen to a podcast and that would allow him to fall asleep earlier? Yes, he could. So instead of getting 3 extra hours, maybe he could get 45 minutes extra of sleep of that day. That is a good step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And more doable, you know, because if you told him, well, there's nothing, there's no in between, well, then he's not going to listen at all.
Now, we're getting sort of close-ish to the end of the podcast, and I have a couple more quick things to cover. First of all, we've talked I suppose, how sleep affects the athlete mm-hmm. or the sport as a whole. Now, kind of flip that upside down, and this is from a personal experience as well. I do jiu-jitsu, and I do it, quite a number of days a week. Now, in the past, when I first came to Korea, my working schedule was so late. You know, I discussed this with David. Korea is just, it's such a nighttime place, right? And that was difficult for me to adjust to. Yes, exactly. So I would do jiu-jitsu at like 9 p.m. at night. I had never done this. And after jiu-jitsu, I could not
sleep.
I just couldn't calm my body. It was for hours and hours. And I would find myself at 1 a.m., my body still feels hot, still wired. It was unbelievable. So, again, on an opposite, how does sort of exercise or sports actually change how one sleeps as well?
So here's the thing, that the research on that is that overall exercise is good for your sleep. So if you sleep, you know, exercise during the day, it's good. But the closer it is to your bedtime, you know, then that is problematic. Would a yoga session close to your bedtime disrupt your sleep? Not really. Would would a jiu-jitsu or a active, you know, if you played, an active game in which your heart rate went up and, you know, and your blood was pumping, and would that disrupt your sleep? Yes, that would be disruptive. It could be, so it's not just the game, it's the environment, right? You're under bright lights, you're trying to focus. Did you drink a cup of coffee or something, an energy drink? Sometimes people do that. So all of those factors itself may make it more, for the exercise to sort of activate you, do exactly the opposite of what you want to happen for to allow sleep to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so that's the short answer. Now, there are people who can exercise late at night and they're able to fall asleep. Again, there is a lot of there's always inter-individual, there's individual variation.
Biology is a complex science, right?
It is. And so, I know, for example, that if I play, because I play tennis, and if I play tennis really late in the night, I prepare for going to bed a slightly later that day. That's just the way it works.
All right, so just as a final point, it's always good every time I speak to a sort of an academic or a researcher, just I guess about their, should we say, prognosis or thoughts on the future. Now, we've mentioned a number of times how it's becoming sort of something that is more in the psyche of an athlete or the general population, sleep as a whole. But also at the same time, sleep is kind of in this weird position where it's the starting block is difficult, right? Because a person can easily see why working out is going to improve their game.
Yes.
It's so easy to see that. If I lift this, I get stronger, et cetera, et cetera. But sleep is like, by doing nothing, I'm getting better.
Yes.
So it's a difficult position to start off. So for you, if we discuss sort of athleticism in the next 10, 20 years, what do you think is going to change in sort of your career field?
Okay. So the first thing I want you to know is that it's funny because that you mentioned that about, you know, when you're doing sleep, you're doing nothing, because we're such a performance-driven society.
Right.
Right. And so, which is why, although if you didn't get enough sleep, there are, you know, almost every aspect of your health suffers.
Mm-hmm.
I never talk about that to players because players don't care.
No, that's the thing, right?
Right. So it's so something as deeply personal and relaxing as sleep, I can only sell as a performance enhancer.
and it's something about the athlete's mindset, right?
Yes,
there.
It is. But it's also the mindset for all of us.
Right.
I mean, that's the reason sleep is getting all this, press right now, is because all of us want to do our best all the time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say that sleep is such an active process because there's rest, recovery going on. Your brain waves are active. You know, every cell in your body is active in a different way. Think that the thinking that you're doing nothing while you're asleep is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
However, so it, my I think what's going to happen in the next year, and it's already happening, is that more and more teams are going to actually get actual sleep experts. So not somebody who's selling a mattress or somebody who's selling, you know,
an app, something like that. Yeah.
But somebody who actually understands sleep to help with their players or, you know, their entire team. Because, you know, good teams or great teams are always looking for that competitive edge. How to, you know, all things being equal, how can we get even slightly
that extra
better?
1%, yeah.
And you spend a third of your day sleeping. If you can enhance that even slightly, that's where it's that 1% you can get from.
Right. It's a great point. Okay, Mita, this has been fantastic. Thank you for teaching us a little bit of what you do. And it's interesting when I have conversations like this because I do hope that, for me, it certainly gives me a different relationship with my sleep. And hopefully for other people who listen to it, it does too.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed what you listened to or have any feedback, or if you just want to say hello, please help out by visiting The Blunt Report on social media, giving a rating, or even telling a friend about what you listened to. The podcast is available on all platforms, including video podcasts on YouTube, or can be found at thebluntreport.com.